Let us pray. Our God and our Father, with those stirring words and notes still ringing in our heart, we approach you this day with gladness and gratitude for all your mercies that have been ministered through thy Son and applied to us by thy Spirit. And we ask, O God, that you will instruct and teach us this day and throughout this year. Give to us a broad and wide vision, and enable us by thy grace to press on toward the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And to that end, may we strengthen each other's hands, encouraging one another, edifying one another, admonishing one another. And may this be to your glory and to your praise, for Jesus' sake. Amen. In the last 2 years, we have had a theme, hopefully setting the direction towards which we aspire to go and strive to meet with respect to goals and aims. The first theme subject was our utmost for his highest. Last year, guarding the foundations. And this year, I am taking the very well-known words of William Carey, the missionary to India, who said on one occasion, "Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God." So that really is the theme title, the subject. And hopefully we will aspire to see some measure of fulfillment of that spirit within our own life, not only as individuals, but as a church. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. I draw your attention to the text for this morning, which is the very well-known passage in Matthew 28, towards the end, from verse 18 to verse 20. "And Jesus came and spoke to the disciples, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." The subject is the King's Commission. Writing to King Francis I of France, John Calvin, the Protestant reformer, said, "Our doctrine must tower unvanquished above all the glory and above all the might of the world. For it is not of us, but of the living God in his Christ, whom the Father has appointed King, to rule from sea to sea and from the rivers even to the ends of the earth." That last phrase, "the ends of the earth," is an echo of what we will find in the reading of Scripture in other places. They remind us of the Father's promise to the Son in Psalm 2. Do you recall it? "Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession."
It is an echo of the psalmist's prayer. Do you remember it? May he have dominion from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. And it expresses the divine purpose. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Together, these places reflect as from a diamond the very facets of that unconditional grace and universal call expressed in these mighty words which we find in the book of Isaiah, turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other. The extent of the king's commission corresponds to the promise that was made to Abraham. In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. I have made you the father of many nations. And therefore Jesus commissions his appointed ambassadors to go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. A.T. Robertson, who is well known for his work, Word of Pictures in the New Testament, wrote this. I quote, "It is the sublimest of all spectacles to see the risen Christ without money or army or state, charging this band of men with world conquest and bring them to believe it possible and to undertake it with serious passion and power. Without money, without an army, without the backing of the state, he commissions these representatives, 11 of them, to go to the ends of the earth in search of sons, in search of daughters that will make up the body of the Lord Jesus, of which he is the head." I want you to just consider with me for a moment the comprehensive vision of this text. And by comprehensiveness, I mean that it is far-reaching. It is broad and it is wide and extensive in reference to what it addresses. When you listen to the text, the music of the entire orchestra might overwhelm the beat of a lesser instrument in the background, whose part is important to the whole. There's a little note that is being sounded in the text, which sounds like this. All, 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 all. When you read the text, have you noticed it? Jesus makes reference to all authority. All authority has been given to me in heaven and upon earth. All nations. Make disciples of all nations. All that I have commanded, teach them all that I have commanded you. All the days. His promise is that I will be with you all the days to the end of the age. And there is this beat that comes through in the text. All authority, all nations, all that I've commanded, all the days, I will be with you. You notice that he doesn't say some authority, or some nations, or some things that I have commanded you, or some days, but all. Sometimes we may feel very inadequate. We may feel impoverished. We may feel that we lack in resources. What can we do? We're very small. There's only 11 of us, those disciples might have said. But he says to them, he has all authority in heaven and on earth. You may be small, you may be insignificant, you may be looked down upon, and you don't have all the resources that are available to the agents of opposition that I'm sending you against, but I have all authority in heaven and upon earth. We may not know where to go, and we might think that we need guidance. You don't need guidance. He's given it. All nations. The church knows where it is to go. Make disciples of all the nations. There's the guidance. There's the direction. We may wonder what to teach. All that I have commanded you. All that I have commanded you. And we may ask, well, look, how long? How long will you be with us? I am with you always. Even to the end of age, at the age, to the end of time itself, I will be with you until the very end. And it is with such assurances in mind that it is no wonder that William Carey, the great missionary to India, said, expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. In the light of even this statement, this royal commission, we can understand Carey, animated with this spirit of optimism, in spite of the opposition, which he did have, from those around him who said, one man got up and said to him, young man, sit down. When God's going to convert the heathen, he will do it without you and me. But William Carey was not going to be put off or distracted from that. He believed that one should expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. We are more than 11 here. We're not like the hundreds and even the thousands in some places. We're small compared with many, but do you believe that we can expect great things from God and attempt great things for God for the simple reason that he has said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and upon earth? We're not 11. We're not 22. We're not 33. We're not 44. We're just a bit more. But do you believe that his word is true, that he spoke to those 11? And it's just as true even today when he speaks to us. I want you to notice the commission issued to the disciples in this text. What is the commission? If you read the text, you will notice in verse 8:19, go therefore. Now that is a participle, and it really should read like this, going therefore. And I want you to look closely at those words, because when you do, you will note that they issue a command. Go. It's almost like an imperative. It's a real directive. What am I to do? Go. And it's given to the disciples, given to the representatives of the church, but it's given to the church down through the ages. And the Lord is not saying to say, son, go. Some will be ministers, some will be pastors, some will be missionaries. They are to go and the rest of us can sit back and support them. It's a word that comes to all members within the body of Christ. Go. To be his ambassador, to be his representative on the campus tomorrow morning. in the office tomorrow morning, on the construction site tomorrow morning, in the mall in the neighborhood tomorrow morning. Go. You're my ambassador. You're my emissary. You're my representative. And I want you to notice the little connecting link there. Go, therefore. So when you come across the therefore, you ask wherefore, why for? What's the link? What's the connection here? It's obviously asking me to look back to something previous. Go, therefore. Before you go, there's something you need to know. And that is something which is essential as well as encouraging to those who are being commanded. In other words, before you go on the mission, listen to the message. We're in haste sometimes, we don't listen. We don't listen to the message. That takes time. It means I have to sit back and listen to the message. But therefore tells me you must listen first of all to the message and then consider the mission. What do we need to know? This is the message. Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. That's what we need to know. And it has been given to him. Go, therefore. These are his words. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore. Have you got the message? Do you believe it? Has it laid hold upon you? Go. There are some who don't believe the message. They don't heed the message, and therefore they don't go. So you need to hear this message. And here is a reason why that connecting link is so significant. We are shown that what otherwise would be absolutely impossible now becomes gloriously possible, yes, an assured reality. Without the message, without the power of it, without the certainty and the assurance of it, all our going into the world would come to nothing. And the Lord himself commissions us. It's the royal commission. It's from the king himself. He says, I know what I'm doing. I know who I'm sending. I know to whom and where I'm sending you. I have all authority in heaven and on earth. You go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. What is the commission? The commission is, go therefore. Well, now who issues the commission? Well, I've already hinted at it, more than hinted at it. It's the king. This is the king's commission. And I want you to just take into your mind these things. It's the conquering king who commissions. He has conquered death. You see, this is the risen Lord who is speaking here. He has risen from the dead. He has conquered the grave. He has conquered death. Joel Beakey reminds us that missionary work finds its foundation in Christ's mediatorial triumph over sin, death, and the world. Missionary work and missionary prayer must be fueled by confidence in the power of Christ, enthroned as head of the church and Lord of all, to overcome all obstacles. I need to know that my king who is commissioning me does indeed have all authority in heaven and on earth. And certainly, he is the one who has been raised from the dead. He has overcome death. He has overcome the grave. He has dealt with sin by bearing my guilt in his body on the tree. And he has shut the mouth of the law. He is the conqueror. And I become more than a conqueror through the Lord Jesus Christ. The other thing is this, that he is the chosen head of the church and of his people. It's interesting, isn't it, that the Lord meets his disciples on a mountain. You'll notice in verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. Do you know the occasions and times when Jesus was associated with a mountain? To a mountain he was taken by the devil and tempted when shown all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Do you remember that it was on a mountain he sat and taught his disciples? That great Sermon on the Mount. That on a mount he was transfigured. On the Mount of Olives he again taught his disciples. And now he meets his disciples on a mountain, having been invested with power. And it reminds us of what we read in Psalm 2. Do you remember those great words in Psalm 2? I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. You are my son, today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possessions. And the king comes to the mount. He comes to the holy hill. And he comes because he will send his disciples to the ends of the earth. For he has asked of the Father, because the Father has promised, I will make the nations your heritage, the ends of the earth your possession. The risen Lord has been invested with imperial rights. That has not been granted to the United States of America, or to the Western world, or even to China. It has been granted to Jesus Christ and Jesus alone, who now claims his territory because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. The other thing that I would just draw some attention to, and that is, it is the crucified Lord who certainly is issuing this commission. Now, the text itself does not distinctly refer to this stage in his humiliation when he was crucified. But without pressing the point over much or wanting to impose upon the text something that is not there, it may be possible to see even a faint outline of the cross which serves as the backdrop to the king's commission. Remember, and just imagine a cross, the vertical beam. All authority in heaven and on earth. And then consider the horizontal beam. Go make disciples of all the nations from east to west. That the backdrop, the choreography of this moment when Jesus is on the mount is to remind us of the cross that lies behind it and lays the foundation for this regal commission. That sinners far and wide may hear the great news, which reminds us of what we read in Psalm 103 and verse 11 and verse 12, when we think of the message of the gospel that offers pardon and forgiveness to sinners everywhere. Well, here we have it in Psalm 103 and verse 11 and verse 12. For as the heavens are high above the earth, there is that vertical beam of the cross. So great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. There is the horizontal beam of the cross. Lying behind it is the faint outline of the sacrificial death of the king, who now comes in all his risen glory and power and says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Whom are those that are commissioned? Well, the 11 disciples, we've touched on that, and they are the pioneers showing the way to the body of God's people who must follow them to the ends of the earth and to the end of time. So the body of Christ's people are called through these initial delegates, these representatives, these who are foundational to the church, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And they hear that message, and we hear it through them. In Acts 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. I have been given power. I have all authority in heaven and upon earth. I want you to wait there in Jerusalem, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Acts 1, verse 8. This commission has not been rescinded. It has not been revoked. We are commanded to take up the baton. We are to run in this race. Our eyes are to be focused upon the regions beyond. And the church today is commissioned, it is commanded and challenged to go with the gospel to all the nations. What are we to do, therefore, by way of application, in these few introductory remarks to a series of studies on this subject that will hopefully carry us through part of the year? The first thing that we should be doing is to plead or intercede. John Calvin says, we must daily desire that God gather churches unto himself from all parts of the earth, and that he spread and increase them in number. John Calvin saw prayer as a weapon of missionary effort. I urge you, therefore, that you yourselves will increase your prayer for the spread of the gospel. That is not to overlook the day-by-day mundane concerns that we have as we go to work, as we take care of our family, as we wrestle, as it were, with changes within us because of age or because of circumstance and so on and so forth. Not saying that. Give us our daily bread is still valid. But we should be also praying, our Father who art in heaven, may your name be hallowed. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that we should take the time and the opportunity to engage in prayer for the advance of Christ's kingdom. We are sometimes startled, deeply concerned about the resurgence of new nations, new forces at work in our world and time, which bring an unsettlement to us. And we should be concerned about the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't worry about the stock exchange up and down, up and down, up and down. That's going to be how it is and how it has been. That's what it will be like in the future. That's what it was yesterday. Don't worry about China and the resurgence of China. Don't worry about what Russia is up to or Mr. Trump is up to. We don't know. Who cares? What we need to know is that our God is enthroned on high. All authority has been given to him, not only in heaven, but also upon earth. Mr. Trump is not in control. Jesus is. Jesus is advancing his kingdom. Why take your cue from the newspapers tomorrow and the news reports on Channel 9, 10, 7, or whatever it is you tend to watch. Believe this, all authority has been given. And therefore come with boldness to the throne of grace and meet with the King and speak to him that he himself will exercise his authority to remove the barriers, to overcome the obstacles, to change the affairs of nations and of individuals, and that he will, according to his promise, build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Plead. Second thing is, read. Read. Familiarize yourself with the prophecies and the promises of the scriptures. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nation shall worship before you. Do you believe that? Or do you kind of read over it and don't think about it? Or do you want to somehow say, well, yes, maybe, maybe not? All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. Do you believe it or don't you? All authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. We're so pessimistic, we're so down in the dumps, we're in the doldrums so often because we've got prophets in the church and prophets outside of the church who are doomsters. There is no hope. And yet we have this. Read the promises. Reflect on the promises. God says to Abraham, the Gentile, incidentally, I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. Read. Read about the missions yesterday and today. Widen your understanding of the work of God in history to the present time. Extend your knowledge geographically, culturally, internationally of the world into which we are being sent. There are missionary magazines out in the foyer. How many of you pick them up and read them? We support missions. Are you interested? Or is it just enough to know that some of our money goes to the support of missions? Not sure which one. We couldn't name half of them. We don't even read about them. So not only plead, not only read, but heed. What more can we do to help spread the gospel? Are you familiar with the missions that we support? EMF? CWI, Voice of the Martyrs, Creation Research, the work of Pastor Poe in Malaysia, Middle East Reform Fellowship, Life Ministries, and so on, Creation Ministries as well. Do we know about these? Do we read? Do we familiarize ourselves? Are we interested? Do we pray about these? Of the 7,000 languages on earth, 7,000 languages on earth, and they're not all in Indonesia, of the 7 languages on earth, only 513 have the full Bible available, have only the full Bible available. Brothers and sisters, do you have a full Bible on your lap, in your smartphone? You're very fortunate. You are one of 513 language groups that has the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. In Asia, 1,600 languages have no scripture at all. 1,600 languages in Asia have no scriptures at all. There is much to be done. There are printing presses churning out the scriptures in China. And the Bibles are being made available quite cheaply, because there are hundreds of thousands of people that are hungry for the Bible, for the Word of God, quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It is the Word of God that is the sword of the Spirit. And if there is one thing that we might need to place in the hands of people, that it may be in their hearts, is the Bible, the Word of the living God. And you and I have an opportunity, not only as individuals, but as a corporate body, not to reduce what we do, but to increase what we do, even if it impoverishes us. Because you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sake, my sake, he became poor. And the churches in Macedonia, compared with a number of churches, were poor churches. And yet we are told that in spite of their poverty, they gave over and above or beyond what they were capable of doing. How do you do that? You have to reduce maybe what you're doing, what you're enjoying, what you're having, what we as a church, that we may in fact give more. There is much yet to be done. May God give us the desire to do all we can. Let us use what God has given us for his cause, whilst we can for his glory, that we may give heed to these words, encouraging words. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. To him be the glory. Amen.